This podcast is presented by Celery Digital. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Celery Talks. This is a show that features ideas and the stories that are behind them. And I'm your host, Tad Kelsey. Celery Talks will tell the stories of business ideas and the people that made them happen. On this week's episode, we'll feature two guests. First up is Mike Chaffin, the co-founder of lifestyle apparel brand Three Commas, which he co-founded with Mark Cuban in 2015. In addition to Three Commas, Mike's resume includes founding and developing tech companies, consulting, speaking nationwide, and today is a longtime business manager for rapper Nelly. Mike's passion is developing the entrepreneurial spirit and seeing startups succeed. This is the heart behind Three Commas. Mike, thanks for joining us today. To start, for those listeners who might not be familiar with Three Commas, tell us a little bit about the brand, the idea, and the product.
Fantastic. No, thanks for having me here. We originally started off Three Commas as really just a fun t-shirt line for Mark Cuban. He wanted to create a website that hosted just some of his sayings and things that were popular from Shark Tank. And during that process, we were trying to come up with a private label name for it. And we came up with Mark Cuban Clothing. We did a lot of work on coming up with all kinds of icons and sent all our work to him. He sent, in normal Mark fashion, the quick response, said no with three commas. And I replied with three question marks, and he came back saying there's three commas in $1 billion. Thought it was clever. We trademarked it and launched basically shop.markcuban.com. He ended up wearing the shirts on one of the shows, and Mike Judge just happened to be there, the writer of Silicon Valley. About a month later, I get a call from my attorney saying HBO's trying to file a bunch of three commas trademarks. At that time, called Mark, and you know, we decided to split it off into its own brand. Silicon Valley, you know, the whole Trace Comma Tequila and everything really took off from there, and you know, really help people understand what we're about.
First, let's go back in your story. Where were you born? Where are you from?
I was born in Norman, Oklahoma, part of the Boomer Sooners, mm-hmm. and moved to Texas. Been here for 42 years now, so fully transplanted. Went to UTA for undergraduate and SMU for grad school, and so been here locally for a mighty long time.
What about Norman and North Texas? What did that teach you or contribute to your future success?
It's been a great network, especially Texas, and being here so long. Have made a lot of great connections through there, and indirectly and directly, everything I've have today is really from those connections early on.
Were you entrepreneurial from your youth?
Yeah, I pretty much from about age 12 on, selling lawnmower services to car washing service, have always tried to start and run my own thing.
When you were 18 to 22, what did you see yourself doing for the rest of your life?
Trying to avoid jail first and foremost, and really knew I wanted to run my own thing, but didn't know what that was. I knew I could sell. And so I was constantly always looking for, you know, some sort of technology or idea to become a part of.
What was your first real job?
It was it wasn't a startup software company, but it was a company called Attachmate. They're about $30 million in revenue and growing. Came on then and got to watch them over 3 years grow to over $100 million in revenue. And learned quite a bit through that process. And you know, from there, kind of dove heavily into the technology industry for the next 10 years.
How did you get connected to Nelly?
It's actually a friend through college. We were in fraternity, everything together. He was having problems with his jean line. They had a couple $1 million in sales and $3 million in debt and issues with their management team. And, you know, through a friend of his bodyguard, we end up getting invited up to LA while he's recording his sweatsuit album and, you know, talked about a lot of things and things he wanted to change. And at that time, kind of things came to a head on the brand. He fired his CEO running it and his business manager at that time. And I went out there and fixed it and just never left. And that was a little over 14 years ago.
And you're referring to the infamous Apple Bottom
Apple Bottom line, jeans right? line. Yeah. Yes. We were able to grow that to 120 million wholesale at its peak and had a nice exit probably about 5 years ago.
What decisions stick out that led to success with Nelly's Apple Bottom brand?
A lot of luck. We went out and we're looking for a lot of licensees. The brand had a lot of buzz on social, which Nelly was hugely successful at. And we just had all kinds of production issues. We were trying to do it ourselves and found the right licensees to come in that can invest and help put a lot of the right capital and right ideas into it and rapidly expand it. So a lot of it was really taking a broad swath in a very short time period and getting a brand in the right hands to help bring it to the next level.
So how did you connect with Mark Cuban?
Actually, surprisingly, I had a friend in Dallas that just kind of jokingly said, hey, he responds to all requests on Gmail. It's just gave me his email address, and I just kind of laughed because Nelly is part owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and I know they've been in Vegas a time or two together. So I just randomly sent him an email, and he responded back within a few minutes and, you know, was rather stunned. So just kept that relationship alive over a few years. And one day he approached us, knew we were doing a lot in apparel. We had the Truck Fit license at the time as well, and did stuff for Gas Monkey Garage and Street Outlaw, Sweetie Pies a bunch. Mark came out instantly and walked through the place and said, hey, let's get this thing launched. So that was pretty much the foundation of our relationship.
What event has led to the largest amount of growth for the company? Would that be the Silicon Valley HBO Shark Tank?
That definitely helped build the awareness, and which we were very excited about, because a lot of people that saw the designs, you know, their first questions, you know, what are three nines on your shirt, or what are three sperms floating on your shirt? What does that mean? So they had no idea. And that it seems like when you tell people what it's about, and it's a truly an entrepreneurial brand. Mm-hmm. It's they get excited and buy. Fortunately, Silicon Valley helped educate the people on that. We're real excited about this coming year. Diageo is going to produce the Tres Camas tequila and launch that brand this coming year.
In all the startups, investments, and brand management that you have been involved with, what, if anything, has been different about your experience with Three Camas?
With a lot of the other apparel lines that we've worked in and invested our time and money in, it's always been a entrepreneur that was very passionate about the line and wanting to promote it and wear it and talk about it in social every day, which is absolutely critical in launching a line. Mark, with not many of these people that have their own clothing line, has 150 other businesses as well. And anytime Mark promotes one business, he's getting 149 other calls from people saying, hey, we want you to talk about us. So it took a lot longer with this to try to get traction and get the message out without that core microphone or megaphone out there.
Is there anything that has happened that you didn't expect?
Well, the one thing we did learn is most entrepreneurs are broke, and to spend $24 on a t-shirt is probably not completely within their budget. It's a variety of individuals that are coming in, people that are entrepreneurs, people that always aspire to be an entrepreneur, but not quite there yet. We have a fairly large male audience that purchases our shirts, and the age range, surprisingly, is anywhere from, 14 to in their 50s, which, if you look at Shark Tank, it's whole families watching it.
Yeah, it's crazy how thin that line is between broke and successful as an entrepreneur. What is the biggest challenge you've had to overcome with Three Camas?
It goes down to awareness and really getting that message out about what we're about. Our historically, we've done a lot of urban lines. We've also done, you know, things like Street Outlaws and Gas Monkey. That was a different market space. So this was a brand new market that we were going after, that business, that entrepreneurial look. So definitely had some challenges with designs early on and trying to figure out what's going to hit and what's not going to hit.
How have you overcome it or are attempting to overcome that?
We failed miserably for, you know, 6-12 months trying to going through a number of designers. And I think we've really found a few that have hit home and kind of understood and got the brand DNA.
What did you learn from managing Nelly's brands that has contributed to the development of Three Commas?
That's a good question. He, you know, the messaging and everything has to be consistent and has to be often. You know, I think a lot of people step out and think, oh, I can do one post, a million people will see it and we're done. And, you know, the principles of advertising hadn't changed. You know, you have to hit something 7 times for it to really stick. And really getting the messages out and make sure that you're consistent with a brand and make sure it's every day, you know, it's definitely something we learned quick.
What mistakes have you learned from in your career?
One, focus. I think where you invest your time and where you focus your energy and effort, when you try to do too many things simultaneous, I think you end up doing them all poorly. And a lot of times between Nelly and especially early on when we launched Three Commas, we were getting everybody trying to reach Mark under the sun and tons of people screening it nonstop. So, you know, I think we were pretty spread out at that point, taking every call, listening. So, you know, I think especially for early stage entrepreneurs, focus is so critical.
What, if anything, would you have done differently?
Nelly's involved with Three Commas and pushing it. And he, you know, when you look from a fashion standpoint and I talk fashion, probably Mark Cuban does not come to mind first thing. You know, it definitely fits a t-shirt brand, but looking at getting a little bit more fashion oriented type items. Nelly over the years has successfully pushed a lot of different type fashion items and merchandise and people look to him to that. So I think I would have got him more involved early on. And then also we realized that, you know, the music, every musician is an entrepreneur for the most part. They've got their own business. They got all the issues entrepreneurs face. And, you know, starting out early, they're broke, they're, you know, the basic issues you have. So probably would have done that crossover into music a lot earlier.
How has e-commerce impacted your business?
We're purely an e-commerce line. We absolutely love it. More people are buying online. They feel comfortable buying online. So, and Mark, you know, is a huge proponent. He never wanted to go brick and mortar on this. You know, you kind of control and stay in touch with who's buying. And so, yeah, it's been a wonderful experience. And I think Amazon and a bunch of those have been great partners of ours. And also just push the, you know, hey, it's easy to buy.
On Celery Talks, we like to examine the idea and what took it from vision to reality. What are factors you commonly see in your experience that take an idea from vision to becoming a reality?
In the apparel side, it can happen real quick. There's so many great tools out there that you can get in a store up in a day. I think a lot of people, once again, they don't realize what conversion rate is, what click-through rate is. And when they have 30,000 followers, they think, oh, I have enough for a clothing line. And, you know, that's not enough for a day's worth of sales in a clothing line if you hit them all. So I think one of the things that people really have to take that realistic view is to look, how am I going to reach this product out? I could have some great designs, but how will I get visibility? It just doesn't happen, you know, overnight or, you know, the things that shoot out there virally, just they don't happen that frequently. There's so much information out there. And I think people get kind of overwhelmed and, you know, you might be seen for a second. And that's the importance of having that great megaphone out there pitching your product. So you can constantly get out there and get enough traction on the web to draw people to your website.
Have you had ideas or products that were real quality or a great idea, but because of luck or timing didn't work out?
It was interesting with Gas Monkey was a huge success when we launched that. Richard Rollins is absolutely phenomenal, one of the best promoters I've ever seen on merchandise. The others, you know, would post, you know, from the Street Outlaws, they had a modicum of success, but they did not really push and promote like others have. So, you know, we got a brand we're trying to launch, Sixfold, wrapped around, you know, the Sixfold of the American flag is basically the Pledge of Allegiance. kind of, you know, felt this was a time for a patriotic type brand, and pushing that and slowly trying to get some traction there. We're just getting the designs out, up and out, but that's going to be, you know, once again, a challenge to get that message out. Cause I think there's quite a few people coming out with the flag shirts and all kinds of things. So we don't want to get lost in that.
Where do you hope to see Three Commas in 5 to 10 years?
We want to be just that niche entrepreneur brand out there. You know, it's not going to be a huge, you know, Nike-like brand or anything, but we'd just love it to be out there and start integrating socially more entrepreneurs. I think you're seeing that push as in all countries now, being, you know, hey, this is the future of everything, being able to innovate and encourage entrepreneurship. So if we can help get that message and push that brand out and encourage people to take that leap to get their own thing started, you know, that would be phenomenal.
What are you excited about right now?
Actually, real excited about where Three Commas is going next year with, you know, the integration of music, the hopefully Diageo and HBO and Silicon Valley really coming out and promoting the Tres Commas tequila and getting that brand out there heavy. So we're real excited about that, and think by the end of next year, the brand will be a lot more recognized. We've had an interesting following because we get orders in weekly from, you know, everywhere from France, Australia, just random places around the world. So haven't quite figured out where they found us. Most of our promotions, everything within the U.S., but somehow they find us, and so we're starting to pick up some success overseas.
Be on the lookout for Three Commas apparel in the next season of HBO's Silicon Valley, worn by Mark Cuban on Shark Tank, or maybe even Nelly representing Three Commas in a music video. Three Commas can be found at threecommas.com and on Amazon. Our second guest is sports writer David Ubben. David has written about college football and basketball for ESPN and Fox Sports. He is currently writing for The Athletic and USA Today's sports blog, Sports on Earth. He is also working for a very unique startup company called FanPlan, which makes a sports and entertainment indemnity product. Since this isn't something really ever seen in the sports world, we asked David to come on and tell us about it. David, thanks for joining us on the show today. For those who are not familiar with FanPlan, tell us a little about the product.
So it's simpler than I think people realize. So this is the first year that we're doing it for college football, afanplan.com. And the concept is this. It's expensive to go to the national championship game, and so we are here to kind of make it easier for fans. So you can purchase a fan plan for whatever team you want. We have our own fan plan championship index. There's some advanced statistics that go into it, 16 different factors that go into it, but basically the prices for each team change every single week based on what happens on the field. You can buy a fan plan for any team at any time, and if that team goes to the national championship game, you get $1,000 to go with them. And you can buy multiple fan plans for any team, and basically it's just to help fans get to the national championship and do so at a reasonable price, which it's hard to do without that.
Who are the founders of the company?
So we have Terry Lywicki is kind of the main guy that's running it, and he's done a handful of different startups, and this is something he's been working on. It's been a labor of love for him for quite some time, and they were excited to get it off the ground in August. And, you know, he's a guy that's been involved in a number of different startups on a number of different sports, but this right now is his main project, and they've done a great job of launching.
How did the idea come about?
Well, I think just noticing that it's hard for people to see these events, and noticing that, you know, the college football playoff, kind of like the Super Bowl, there's so few fans that are actually going to the games anymore. It's a lot of like corporate type things, and fans get allotments, teams get allotments to go to games, but it's still expensive. You know, travel, wherever the game's going to be, you know, this is a nationwide sport, and if you're a Washington fan, it's hard to get to Atlanta. If you're, you know, an Alabama fan, it's hard to get to Santa Clara, who'll be hosting the title game, I think, next year, and we just wanted to take some of that off of their plate, and I think we saw an opportunity. The playoff is only going to grow in popularity. The price of these things is only going to get higher, and so we wanted to be there and to help fans be able to see the biggest game in college football, and do so on a budget.
What about the founders, Terry Lywicki and Daryl Johnson is also involved as well. What about them do you think could contribute to the success of FanPlan?
Well, I think they just have a lot of credibility. You know, I think Daryl Johnson obviously speaks for himself, a well-respected guy in the football world, in the world of Texas, and, you know, being in Dallas, being near the National Football Foundation, the College Football Playoff itself, just is very helpful. National Football Foundation has, you know, helped set up an office space for FanPlan to work out of. And then obviously Terry, you know, with his background and been doing as many things as he's been doing, you know, when investors are talking and when fans are talking and when people talk about that, they see who's involved. There's a credibility involved in that. And I think it's been really a huge help in getting it off the ground and make it be a success in year one and even bigger as we move on to later seasons.
How are you involved with FanPlan?
So what I do is I'm kind of, you know, the... sort of the, we'll call it the guide to fans trying to look for fan plans. I think when we're looking at fan plans, you know, there's two types of people that are going to buy just their team and try to figure out when they want to buy their team. And if their team goes to the national championship game, they want to make sure that they're there. And then I think there's a big group of people that are just college football fans in general. And going to the college football championship game is a cool experience, and so people want to go to that. And so there's people that are just kind of playing the system and waiting for, okay, here's who I think's going to go. I want to, you know, get the best price at the best time, and they're waiting and playing the system themselves. And so I think we can serve both of those two people. And for me, basically every week I'm writing about who are the best buys, what's going to happen this weekend, and using kind of my expertise in college football to kind of help point people to, hey, if you're shopping or if you're looking for your team, now's a good time to buy this team. Now's a good time to buy that team. Here's what might happen this week that could influence the title picture or the fan plan market. And we put that up on our website. And so if people are shopping, you know, for their fan plan or trying to figure out what they want to do, you know, we can be right there and sort of help them. Hey, these are some of the best purchases for right now.
What did you initially think about the product when they approached you to work for them?
I was just intrigued. You know, I think it's such a good idea because, like I said, you know, we've been talking about it. I think just people want to go to this game and it's hard to go to it. And especially, like, if you're, you know, I think it's easier to buy into it maybe if your team is going. You might feel that emotional pull of, well, now is the time to that it's worth it to pay. But two things. One, it's still going to be expensive. And two, your team might never get there. And it's still a cool experience to go to this game. Like, just because, you know, if you cheer for Purdue or, you know, any, you know, some other school that's probably never going to play in the championship game in your lifetime, you still like college football. You still want to go to this game. And maybe the Purdue fan plan is not for you, but maybe the Notre Dame one is, or maybe Georgia is. And so people want to go to this game, and I thought it was a cool idea. There's obviously a huge market. I mean, college football is the second most popular sport in the country, right behind the NFL. So I think it's going to be really fantastic and something that only grows from year one.
I think the effect of the sports gambling phobia has weakened significantly in our sports climate today. But for those who are apprehensive to buy because they see it as sports gambling, how does the fan plan differ from sports betting?
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking to lawyers. Terry has done a good job of that, and it's a prize indemnity package. And so everything is clear legally, and I think ultimately you just have to look at it as, hey, this is a chance to see a special event and do so for a cheaper price. And so, you know, we're cleared with all of that stuff, and I think the response we've gotten from fans has been really positive so far, and I think that's only going to be more so when you know, the fan plans are starting to be redeemed, and you're starting to see fans who have purchased fan plans start getting on those planes and getting those tickets to go see a great event, the biggest game of the year.
Do you think there'll be tweaking of fan plan in the future?
Possibly. I think, you know, this year has been really fantastic. I think it's the response has been great. The Dallas Morning News came to the office and wrote about it. I get asked about it periodically when I'm at games. You know, what's this fan plan thing all about? And, you know, when I do radio spots in areas, I, you know, people always are like, that's a great idea. So the response that I've heard has all been great. And so, you know, in terms of tweaking, I'm sure as we go into year two, we'll be kicking around ideas. But for now, you know, we want to finish strong in year one, look to grow and see where it goes from there.
Are there any promos planned for the future?
Well, we started the season with the FanPlan 50, which was every single team was $50 at the start of the season. And that was great. I think we got a great push out of that. But as the season goes on, you know, we'll see if we come up with anything, but nothing super planned right now.
So if you go onto the website and you're looking for your team and say you're a fan of TCU or Alabama, you would find that those tickets are sold out right now.
Well, it kind of varies from week to week, depending on who's buying and what the price is. I mean, we are involved with some risk management firms where, you know, you do have levels of exposure. You know, if you sell 200 fan plans, that's $200,000 of exposure that you'll have to pay out, you know, if those teams do end up going. So it's all kind of a complicated algorithm that's above my pay grade and above my math knowledge. I don't think I got very, very far along in math in high school. It took very little in college. So that's sort of all of a formula that they sort of do and work out as, you know, as the market shifts and people buy. But yeah, if a team's sold out now, you know, just keep waiting and they might go back on sale for a new price pretty soon.
Where have you promoted FanPlan?
All over. I mean, obviously social media is big, but you know, anytime, you know, a lot of the times when we're talking about these are the best buys for this week, you know, I'll do some radio interviews in those towns and tell people, hey, this is what's going on. You know, hey, Ohio State or whatever, or Oklahoma or whoever is, you know, this price. And, you know, hey, if you want to go see, if you think they're going to go to the national championship, get your fan plan now, go for 10% of the price, basically. And so, it's been fantastic. I think, you know, like I said, every time I do one of those, the response has always been good. And it's been a really fun experience to do something new and kind of be at the ground floor as this thing gets rolling.
What do you think college football playoff expansion would do for FanPlan?
Well, I think it would grow it, honestly, because it's all about making the playoff. Once you make the playoff, I mean, obviously everyone's fan base, everyone thinks anyone can go. You can win. It's one game to get to the national championship. And so if you can get in the playoff field, that only grows the number of possibilities for different teams to make a run. I mean, we see it in March every year. A team that maybe is super talented but doesn't really show it on the field. Like this year, Ohio State's a good example. Okay, they're going to have a really tough time getting in the national championship game. But if they were in the playoff field, they'd have as good odds as any. You know, think about Kentucky a couple of years ago. You know, they had a in basketball, you know, they struggled. I think they were an 8 seed coming into the bracket, but they got hot late. They got all the way to the Final Four. I think they lost a national championship game in Texas, actually, to UConn. But that was a team, you know, if the playoff expands, I think you're going to see some more of that. There's going to be more relevant teams and more opportunities for fans to get to the national championship game and a lot more different teams that could be good buys and good investments for people as they look to see a special game.
What does the path to the college football playoff expansion look like?
Well, I think for this year, what could be really interesting is Notre Dame is kind of throwing a wrench into this because the math of the playoff and college football as a whole has never really made sense because you have four spots, you have five power conferences. So one's going to be out every single year. Well, now we have Notre Dame that's right in the middle of that. And you have the Pac-12 and the Big Ten who look like they're going to have some uphill battles to get into the playoff. And you could very easily, if Notre Dame makes a playoff, you could have two power conferences shut out. And let me tell you, as somebody who covers the Big 12 a lot, when they get left out of the playoff, it's like an off-season-long existential crisis. It's just like, oh, the sky's falling. What are we doing wrong? We got to change everything. We got to add a championship game. We got to yell at Bill Hancock, the nicest guy on the planet. We got to do all these things. And if you have two conferences doing that, especially if one of them is the SEC or the Big Ten, who is the richest conference, you're going to have some interesting conversations because no conference wants to miss out on the playoff. The Big Ten, if they miss out on the playoff, that's basically $360,000 per school that every school is not going to be getting. And so you're missing out on money, you're missing out on exposure. There's the reputation factor of, you know, like I said, as somebody who covers the Big 12, it doesn't help the Big 12 that they've missed the playoff in for 3 years that they've done it. That's, I think, the biggest thing is just this year, if two power conferences are out, and especially if one of them is the Big Ten, or you know, who knows if Alabama loses or Georgia loses on the way, and you have the SEC getting shut out, basically, if you got two power conferences that are out, I think you're going to have a very interesting conversation. Certainly, there's no hard conversations about expanding the playoff right now, but we've never had an offseason where two conferences had to sort of lick their wounds from January to August.
As a connoisseur of filling out an NCAA basketball tournament bracket, are there any plans for an NCAA basketball tournament fan plan product?
So we've done something kind of, they did something similar in the past. It's kind of a different company, a different kind of thing. But it's definitely something we've talked about. You know, this is, you know, sports, there's playoffs all over the place. And so the fan plan, even though we're in college football right now, obviously, like you said, March Madness makes a ton of sense. But even like the NBA, the NFL, they have playoffs. I mean, this is not a something that could only work in college football. And so as, you know, we kind of wrap year one and look to grow, I mean, certainly those are some areas where it makes a lot of sense to, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the Final Four, it makes a lot of sense to look into what is next and where can we grow. And those are some obvious areas.
Paint a picture of the perfect storm for the fan plan.
Yeah, I think it just is everything going off without a hitch. You know, people this year, you know, you have two teams, two groups that are going to be, you know, holding, you know, fan plans that are going to get them to the championship game. Everything goes smoothly. Those people just love their experience. And we see more and more people getting invested in fan plan next year, expanding to other sports. And like I said, just kind of slowly but surely taking over the world.
You can find the fan plan at afanplan.com and find all of David Ubbin's work on Twitter at David Ubbin. That's our show for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you for episode 4 next week. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, and also listen at CeleryDigital.com as well as Podomatic.com.